Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you once again. As I've prayed many times, Lord, to you, as we picture you. We picture you in the throne room of heaven. You're on your throne. You're our Heavenly Father. You're the one who began everything in the beginning. And so we thank you for all that you've given us to help us to come to that knowledge, the knowledge that you're the one in charge, you're in control, and you gave us your Son. You gave us our Son that willingly went to the cross and died for all our sins if we commit our lives to him and believe in, and by faith we trust in him as our Lord and Savior. And so we thank you for all that you provided. We thank for you that you are sitting on the throne and Jesus there at your right hand. And we lift our prayers up to you and thank you for all that you do and all that you continue to show us and guide us and direct us and encourage us along the way. So we thank you now for this new opportunity to start a new lesson looking at Proverbs. And I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who you've sent as well to us so that we can be our teacher along the way. And so I just pray that as we study the Proverbs, read some of them, and maybe grow in our understanding of it, that we can grow closer in our knowledge and understanding of you and your plan and what lies ahead as we try to look into the future based on your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time and the people who have come and the people who may be listening in as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm just going to do a quick overview of the handout I gave you, just so you kind of were all on the same page. You know, we finished, I call this topic five. Now some of you have it and some of you don't probably. I can provide it to those that maybe don't. At a point, like I was talking, at age five, I started going through this journey, from a divine agenda. Because we know everything that happens, everything that we need comes from God himself and what he provides. And not every church, not every religious organization necessarily believes totally in dispensational teaching, but I do. And I've studied the Bible pretty thoroughly, and I believe God has laid out the plan. God has shown what he did in the past. I think that the thing that I always marvel at and I try to emphasize, you know, we would ask the question, where did God come from? That's a question that cannot be totally answered except for we know that he's always existed. And we don't understand that as humans because we have a beginning, we have a birth, and we have a death, and we have hopefully eternity lying in the future if we trust in his son Jesus. So that's an issue in our culture, in our churches, in everything. And so I believe, and I think Raymond and I have probably discussed this quite a bit, and I think we're in close agreement at least on the seven dispensations that I think are outlined in the Bible, and we are working our way from when God first revealed himself to Moses, well, actually to others before that, but basically God gave to Moses to write it down, and that's where the first five books of the Bible come from. Moses writing in the time of the wilderness, we believe, journey. And so God is the one that laid this out. And of course, Raymond will be teaching again or preaching today on those the beginning of all things, light and darkness, and so, so we know that that's the origin of things is according to God's word, and then you go on from there. That's what we're doing, working our way through, and so we're here at age five, the law to the cross, and so I took a sidestep and started teaching in detail this age of the law, pretty much, and that's what we're working through, and we're now through topic five. There are 10 topics. For those that maybe don't have a handout, I'll try to get you one. I've listed 10 topics. 10 topics to cover from Joshua to Acts. And so we're on five right now, and I've called this a poetic perspective. Job, Psalms, which we've now finished, both of those. And we're starting on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. And so the handout you have this morning is my outline of those three other parts of a poetic perspective. And then we'll move on from there, and we have five more to go and to have a completion of this this journey. And, you know, when I came up with this title for it, an overview from Joshua to Jesus, you know, basically Joshua name pretty much means the same as Jesus. So Joshua, Yeshua, like Yeshua in Hebrew for Jesus, pretty much is important to reflect upon. So anyway, that's what the handout is here this morning. We'll start on the Proverbs outline, and we'll get through what we can, and then we'll continue on in the next, how many weeks? I don't know. I don't think it should take too many weeks. I'm gonna try. I just tried to get all this stuff done this week, and so I don't have everything in my mind planned out. Exactly what I want to read and what I want to just talk about in an overview, and then have you read it on your own and then comment on some of the things. So I'm not prepared as well as I'd like to be to start going through this in a lot of detail, but we'll do what we can this morning. So let's take the handout I gave you and do the overview. I think I have, seven bullet points to kind of summarize Proverbs. Proverbs is 31 chapters, from 1 to, yeah, to 31. 31 it concludes. And so we start with the purpose and theme are introduced in the first seven verses of chapter 1. And I'm going to read that in total here in a minute. And within that, it tells us who was primarily responsible for the writing, because we have Solomon by name, and we'll have Solomon later. You'll see on the outline that that a good share of Proverbs is believed to have been given to us by Solomon. That's the third bullet point down, the Proverbs of Solomon. From chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 22, verse 16. And so we'll go through those in some kind of, not a speedy way, but we'll try to cover it and work through those. And so then we have also later the Proverbs of Solomon in 25 to 29. And then we have, I always enjoy this, the last chapter, or the last part of the last chapter, the epilogue, an excellent wife. So what is good? An excellent wife. So it covers quite a bit of territory. So even if you've read it before, if you've read through all the Bible, or you read through this one particularly, I think we can always learn something from it. So that's what we'll be attempting to do as we go through it. you know, kind of see what we see that maybe we hadn't seen before. And by all means, as I try to share on this, don't be afraid to speak up and add to what I say or question or whatever comes to your mind to do. So, okay, so I've kind of given an overview. You've got the bullet points, the highlights, and then we'll get started on those first seven verses here. So let me turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, and my heading at the top of this section, chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, is titled The Prologue, Purpose and Theme. And so that's, purpose and theme are introduced, I put on the handout. So let me read these seven verses, comment on them. If there are any questions or comments you have, it pretty well identifies for us who the main writer of the Proverbs is, and that's the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. That pretty well defines it without much doubt. And then what goes on to tell us, for attaining, this is the purpose, kind of a purpose statement, if you will, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. So just think about some of these things and how important they can be. Doing what is right and just and fair. And so that's a task that we're assigned to. And we don't always do it perfectly by any means. And we see a lot of not doing in our culture. Doing what is right and just and fair. And I think about that line, and you watch the news, you watch what all's going on in the world, and you just, oh man, is anybody seeking to do what's right? You know, but we can challenge, we can, you know, encourage, we can teach, we can, you know, God has given us the opportunity to give insight to people who maybe are off track or not following, don't even care about the Bible. And I think of the shooter at the schools in Minneapolis. I mean, you know where he is right now. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, unless there was a miracle somewhere between the time he did the shooting and he then killed himself, but even killing himself is wrong. So, and when you have that event and how despicable that was, and so we're seeing it. I mean, we see it almost every day or every week or many times a month, just in the news. And so we have that access to news. You know, most everybody carries a phone, and you can find out what's going on almost instantaneously. You know, we have that kind of accessibility if we choose to want to do that, or TV, whatever. So that statement, verse 2, I'm going to read it again, because I think it's really the heart of it. For attaining wisdom and discipline. Now remember, Solomon was considered one of the wisest men that ever lived. And God rewarded him for it, for what he asked God for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. So do we understand? Do we understand as best we can God's word and what's being said, and doing to the best of our ability to try to follow it? For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. And that's what I see so much, that it's just chaos in our world. But this is what the purpose is, the purpose of the Proverbs in Solomon's writing here, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. It'd probably be good to put those three words on a board or a mirror, whatever, to the best of our ability. And we don't do it perfectly, none of us do. That should be our goal, doing what is right. And right for who? Right, first and foremost, in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. And what God requires and desires and demands. Doing what is right and just, make it right, and fair. So that's a pretty strong statement. So I wanted to emphasize that. Then going on, for giving prudence to the simple. And I don't know if that means simple-minded or simple, just people in general. But to take care of those that maybe don't have the mental capacity to do things that they should do, to take care of themselves or whatever. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Raise up your children in the way they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So along the journey, continue to seek guidance, listening, so that we're learning and adding to their learning. And then verse 6, for understanding Proverbs, we'll be reading about here, understanding Proverbs and parables. You know, Jesus taught in parables. So much of the Bible can be put in parable form, because it's a way of telling a story, and having a meaning and a purpose in it. The sayings and the riddles of the wise. So take the wise people, those who think properly, follow God, the sayings and the riddles of the wise, so you understand, you know, what's meant. And then lastly, verse 7, and this, I think we've all heard this verse, might be a good verse to memorize if you haven't. The fear of the Lord, that's Yahweh, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And you see that literal battle that goes on all around us all the time. The battle between doing what's wise and right in the eyes of God and just foolishness, without undisciplined. Behaviors. So, anyway, that's the first thing. I had the Proverbs of Solomon, and for attaining wisdom and understanding, to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's a pretty important statement. That's where it begins. You must first and foremost have fear of God, fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean you tremble with fear. It means that you respect, you honor, you follow, you obey, you believe, you do the best you can to pass it on to others. So, okay. In the next section, I think I'm going to skip a few verses here. Verses 8 to 19, I'm just going to read a few verses. You can read the whole thing for yourself, but I want to read verse 8 and verse 10 first, because I think those kind of stood out to me. Verse 8, and I think it's an important verse, an instructive verse. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Think about that. Look how that is being abused, totally abused. I mean, I just think of the shooter in Minneapolis. The mother allowed him to be transgendered, 19 years old. And his whole mind went haywire, I believe, or maybe it started long before that. And we see the destruction that can come from that anger and undisciplined behavior. So, but anyway, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Hopefully, you've all had good parents. I guess I don't know the backgrounds. I know some, but I don't know.
It's a great verse to pray for your grandchildren right now.
That's good. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have grandchildren, and I think a lot of us do, keep them in mind. If their parents, I mean, our children that are raising them, are not raising them in the way they should go, I know it's a hard thing to step in and try to, you know, lift them up. But so, yeah, so that's a good point. And then verse 10, I skipped to verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Just think how prevalent that is, too. I mean, you can read this Proverbs, and you can see all the instructive words, and you can see what's wrong. You know, so much of what's wrong and happening in our culture that is just abominable. But do what you can. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Turn away. Turn back to God's instructive words. So then I go on to verse 15 and 16. I want to read those for you. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. Kind of a repeat point. For their feet rush into sin. Think about that. They are swift to shed blood. Think about that. How useless to spread a net. I skipped this line in my original, but how useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. Just kind of was inserted in there. But I want to read 18 and 19 to finish this section. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gains. It takes away the lives of those who get it. You know, the news has made such an issue of all the children shot in the Catholic school in Minneapolis. And it's deplorable, but these kind of things are going on every day in some fashion. Maybe we don't get the big news story because this was pretty diabolical. And so, but do you hear the news reporters really talking about what the real problem is? And no, they dodge it. In fact, the mayor of Minneapolis, well, this is not against transgenders, you know. Don't take it out on transgenders. And so all those things are...
Don't take it out on the gun either.
Yeah.
Because the gun did it, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, I think that's to be reflected upon. So, such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Okay, let me I'm gonna go ahead and read the next section from 20, verse 20 to 33, to the end of this chapter, because I don't think I can let anything go by. This section is called Warning Against Rejecting Wisdom. Okay, God has given us by nature the ability to make wise decisions. It's a question whether we choose to follow that and do it. And so the warning here is against rejecting wisdom. So if you don't care if you're making wise decisions and anything goes, then that falls on you, the person that is not doing it. So this reads, wisdom calls aloud in the street. All the street violence, all the street, you know, things that are happening in our culture even today. She raises her voice in the public square. So you can go to the public square and you can preach and you can teach and you can do whatever, but I think sadly in our culture a lot just want to, you know, blame the church or blame, you know, whatever for these tragedies that are happening. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gates of the city, she makes her speech. Do you think that makes a difference in our time? I guess do it if you're called to do it and you believe that God is wanting you to preach or share in the public square. You'll probably catch a lot of grief for doing it, but if it's on your heart and God, you know, is using you to share the word, I think about doing it. At the head of the so forth. And then verse 22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hate knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, Yahweh, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. So it's a pretty thought-provoking warning against rejecting wisdom. God is the one that imparts wisdom, so we need to look to him first and foremost, and for those who are sharing with us his word, take all that into consideration as to who you turn to for guidance and advice and direction and help. I think are all important. Okay, and I'm going to move on with chapter 2. And I think I called this moral benefits. Yeah, moral benefits of wisdom. And again, I couldn't really find anything I could kind of skip. So I'll try to read through it quickly, and you won't comment on many things, but I want to be sure the word is shared. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, Yahweh, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. The wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from the men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife, with her seductive words. Who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God? For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So consequences, always the consequences. Doing it God's way, seeking God's guidance and direction, honoring him along the journey, always trying to stand up for what's right, and even in the face of criticism, those things I think we ought to consider. Chapter 3, more benefits, further benefits of wisdom. I just don't know how to not read these things. All of them speak to me so personally, and I hope as I do read them, if you think it's too much reading, please comment to me, and I'll try to cut some things out. But this stuff is so rich and relative to our times today, as we see our world and see how chaotic it is. Okay, so chapter 3, I'm going to try to get through this. Maybe I won't get through the whole thing, but we'll see. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years, longer life, and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord, and this is pretty important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is one of those verses that I think most of us have memorized at some point, maybe still have it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So if you want to be on the straight path, trust in the Lord and lean on his understanding, not on your own understanding. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord, Yahweh, with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. I think that's a song. I think that's a hymn at some point. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant always, or pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord, Yahweh, laid the earth's foundations. There's our proof. He says it. I believe it. It's all that needs to be said. By wisdom, the Lord, Yahweh, laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster, or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord, Yahweh, will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not blot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. So that's where we'll stop for today, and we'll pick up there in chapter 4 next week. I'll think about it a little bit more of maybe not reading quite as much, but I can't. What do I leave out? I mean, this is all just so... You know, just should speak to us in our times and our needs, or seeing others' needs, people's needs, seeing, you know, what our culture is teaching, which is deplorable. So much of it's deplorable that we need to seek God's word. So let's close in prayer, prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all your word. We thank you for these words, particularly in the Proverbs that we've read. Help us to put them on our heart and keep them in our mind, and help us to respond accordingly when the opportunity arises before us to share with others and help others along the way, and to hopefully give guidance to others based on your word. So we thank you for the opportunities you give each one of us. Help us not to miss them along the journey. So, Lord, now we thank you ahead of time for our time of worship. We pray for the people that come into this place this day. We pray for each part of our worship service. We pray for the music that we will sing. Charmaine has chosen. We look forward to that. We look forward to the scripture that's been chosen to be read. And we also, pray for the sermon that Raymond has in mind, turning us back to the beginning of all things, Genesis 1. And so as we return to looking at the beginning, as recorded in your word, Lord, we just ask for your continued guidance. Help us to see what's important and what we can, the opportunities that you put before us to share with others. So we thank you for this time, and we thank you ahead of time for our time of worship and the rest of this day. We ask for a blessing on our day, and we pray for the time that people will have off of work, if it's in their regular routine tomorrow, with being Labor Day. And so we thank you for the opportunities you give us to rest as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.